Dear Santa, for Christmas, what I would really like is... When I say Santa, I mean the wife, actually. Dear wife, allow me to spend $500 on beer. Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the pouring old man. This is episode X.
X.
Yeah, I'm going X. Roman numerals. Episode 10 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. My name is Russell, and as always, I'm joined by, he's hopped forward with a lingering bitterness, that's Anthony Pitt.
That does probably sum me up pretty good.
I thought so as well.
How are you, mate?
Mate, I am box of fluffy ducks, as they say.
Excellent. Good to hear.
All right. So who are we? We are the Pouring Old Men. Just a couple of old timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release new episodes of the podcast every Monday morning on all the good podcast services and even some of the bad ones. Plus, you can find the Pouring Old Men on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and even on YouTube.
Yep. I did start up Pinterest as well.
Oh, you did? I haven't seen this yet.
I don't know what I'm doing, so if someone knows what they're doing, let me know, but I've set one up.
It's supposed to be craft stuff, so you know, find like artwork you can do with beer cans or something like that. Or
there's some funky craft beer stuff on there that I did look
Christmas
at.
Christmas is coming up. You could turn your craft beer into craft beer cans into Christmas decorations.
True.
There you go. So there's a few ideas there.
Exactly right.
I don't know how the wife would feel about that.
No. No, at least you might say they're putting it to some good use.
It's called recycling in some circles.
Exactly right.
Right. Have you got any shout-outs today there, Mr. Pitt?
Funnily enough, the shout-outs sort of relate into the beers that we've had as well.
Yes.
So, one I wanted to do was Ross at Bacchus.
Yes, absolutely.
We popped in there the other week to sit down and have a couple of beers.
I believe in the industry they call that a business lunch.
I think it'd be nice if it was tax deductible for us, but we'll work that one out down the track. But yeah, we checked in and Ross popped over and sat down with us, had a good old chat, gave us some really good information, talked about how they do the beers, also about what they do if it doesn't come out exactly how they want it to.
Yeah. I quite enjoy it because he seems to, Bacchus over there seems to follow my sort of my beliefs in beer. Like, if you're going to put something on a beer can, it's got to taste like that, and that's exactly what they want. So they make their beers taste like what they say it is. And
exactly. And I was excited by the fact that he said they were trying to do a Tim Tam beer, I think Tim Tam, it was, and it didn't turn out, but turned out tasting almost like a Jaffa.
Yeah, they added some orange syrup or something like that, didn't
they? That's it.
Yeah.
So they tweaked it, and I think it was really cool to hear that. Interesting sit down and chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And yeah, it had some cracking beers over there as well.
Yes. But,
you had the peanut brittle Gosa, which was probably my favourite beer of the day, actually.
Funnily enough, I listed, I had a few.
Mm.
That was definitely top of my list.
Yep.
The other one I enjoyed, and it was more a texture, a color, and just an overall feel to it, was the Nitro Hazy.
Mm.
It was thick. It was more like a milkshake, but it was a hop-forward beer. So yep.
You do love your nitros.
Yeah, it was really intriguing. I enjoyed that one. Had a few of the others. They were all good.
Yeah.
But those two definitely stood out.
Such a diverse range there. Like, we'd like... What platter of five different beers?
That's
and
it.
Each one is completely different. Like I said, the peanut brittle had the Belgian mocha one as well. There's a really thick coffee stout. There's Jaffa Lansing, which for my pumpkin cravings.
Exactly.
Fantastic little venue there. I'm embarrassed as that's my first time I've been over there. In 10 years it's been open.
First time, but won't be the last time after that. So yeah, thanks Ross and thanks Bacchus. It was a really good
just
visit.
Such a long way to go from little old Springfield.
Yes. The second shout out was going to be caught up with Where's Wazza, who's obviously not here today, but also one of our listeners, Dane, at Tap Dog. So BrewDog's venue over at Murray. First time I've been out there as well.
Okay, because you and Warren keep calling it Tap Dog, but isn't it Dog Tap?
Either way.
I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
It's more, have I got it wrong all this time?
No, I think you are right in that it's Dog Tap. I don't know. Who cares? It's BrewDog's venue.
It's BrewDog.
Yeah, it's BrewDog's venue. So, really enjoyed that one. The fact that the wife came as well, so I had a driver, did help because I went through two beer flights.
Yes, yes.
So went through.
It's the drawback of a lot of these really nice, like crafty places, that they are a bit out of the way, and to get there can be an issue. And yes. It's probably more of an issue getting back after you've had a few boozy beverages.
Exactly. And this was in just a random place under the Gateway Bridge, mm-hmm. but it's beautiful down near the river. You get a breeze, even yep. though it was a hot day. It was actually really comfortable sitting outside.
Yep.
But obviously the beers were a highlight. Food was good,
mm-hmm.
but beers were a highlight. Went through. They had a collab going on, so had some from Black Ops.
Yep.
Who else was there? Fick.
Fick. Yep.
Yep.
Corumban Valley.
Corumban Valley, which is the highlight of the day.
Really? What was this?
It was the strawberry gin fizz. It was thick, almost like what I would expect if you did up sort of a strawberry juice, like a boost juice sort of style. But it popped full of strawberry. It was tart. It was fantastic. To the point where got a pack of the four pack on the way out.
Yep.
It was an exceptional beer. And I must admit, Corumban Valley is moving right up the list of...
They do some quality. I think you had the Misty Mountain Hop the other week. I had one last week as well. That's really nice, sort of grapefruity, citrusy kind of beverage, that one. I quite enjoyed that.
They've jumped straight into my top 10 breweries for the year.
Yeah,
so I think we'll be doing an episode where we cover off on those.
Yep.
They're on the list with a sort of arrow pointing up, kind of like we are with our charting.
Yes. Just depends when we stop counting. If we stop counting the last couple of days, it's great.
Yeah. the last official announcement that came out, that's what I'm running with, which was top five.
We've got a couple of court cases going. We're stopping the counting as of Tuesday morning. Pay no attention to these fake results coming through.
Yes, the rest is fake news and... they'll be hearing from our lawyers.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a rank out.
Heston's overtaken us.
Yeah. Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Has Burnt Toast? I haven't looked at that one.
I haven't seen the one that caught my attention. I like seeing the other ones around us. There's one there called "Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich?"
Oh.
And all they do is they talk about, like, you know, conceptual things of like food, like, you know, is a bowl of chili a soup and that sort of stuff. But basically, all they do is I prove that food doesn't exist, and that really goes against. Okay. Yeah. So
in saying that, is for you, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Yeah, I would have said no as well.
Yeah.
So there we go.
There we go. We solved the puzzle. You don't need to listen to that podcast anymore. Yep. There's probably another 399 podcasts that we have to debunk, so you can listen to ours.
Yep. We're doing well. We're knocking off one podcast away.
And that's for the craft beer ones. There must be a bunch of guys sitting around smelling their own flatulence telling us that it smells like strawberries.
I don't go near strawberries. You're ruining my Corumban Valley beer.
Oh, sorry, pal. Sorry.
Otherwise, do you have any shout-outs, mate?
No shout-outs. No, nothing on my books. I'm not as social as you.
That's been my big week. Go back to being a hermit crab until probably Christmas now. So.
Well, I spent the my day off on the weekend in Pittsworth, in 2 hours west of Brisbane, and there was no craft beer around there.
No, it's a highlight place, that one, isn't it?
It's a dusty little town, that one. I was hoping I'd get time on the way back to stop off in Toowoomba and check out, like, I think Four Brothers Brewing and Volcano Brewing, but I didn't get a chance to do that, unfortunately. So
no,
it was a dry run home.
Ah, that's unfortunate. So. Link us into the, what have you been drinking?
What have I been drinking? Well, obviously, other than Backers, I went and had a crack at the Yamundi IPA.
Yes, that one that popped up everywhere.
So. Yeah, it's, I had to put it down as a bit of a miss.
Yep.
There's a lot of flavors going on there that just aren't really well blended together. But Aussie,
they're fighting each other, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a good beer in there, I swear. Yep. Like, there's some interesting taste and interesting flavors. It's just kind of thrown together, shaken up, and thrown in the can.
Okay.
Aussie, you know, rum based beers aren't that unusual. You have your rum barrel beers that come out quite often. But this one, it just wasn't quite there. So that was a bit of a miss. Another one I had was, again, time for Poor and Old Man Bingo here.
Yep.
From Ballistic.
There you go. So on that, Dane, there will be some bingo cards coming. Probably we might hold off until the new year.
Yeah, we should have done it before Christmas. Perfect for the kiddies around the Christmas tree. There you go. Poor and Old Man Bingo. So this was a collab with Big Shed Brewing from, I believe, South Australia. It's a Oak Guava Double IPA.
Oh, I did see that one. Yeah. How was it?
It's a bit of a mess as well, this one. There's a lot of contrasting flavors there that just, I think they work together very well. Like you got that sort of.
I haven't found a good guava IPA.
No, I'm starting to wonder if I just don't like guava.
Yeah, funnily enough, I don't mind guava. It almost needs a sweet fruit with
it didn't work well with like the oakiness. The oat XPA from Ballistic, I quite like. I'm a big fan of it. I can sip away there for a while, but adding the guava with it, it just didn't work for me. Mm. And that's about it. I'd always mention the Misty Mouse and Hop as well. So I'd a few days off the beer, so there's not a lot to choose from at the moment.
That's fair enough. Well, I only had, after the breweries, I only had one other beer, which was the Gozer's Red from the brewery.
How was that? I keep seeing the brewery around the place, and normally on Port Off Course, they cost about $27 for a can.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, this one popped up at First Choice, which is the first time I've seen it there, but it meant that it was actually an affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think of if you had a rosé wine, made it tart, and that's pretty much what you would get from this beer. So it was nice. It was refreshing. It's a good summer drink. The missus had a sip and liked it as well. It's probably one of those ones where at a Christmas party or that sort of thing, you can actually split a can between a couple of people and just comfortably sip on it on a hot day.
The other one I did actually want to mention had from Bad Shepherd. This is also from First Choice, which is what jogged my memory.
Bad Shepherd
Temptation Double IPA. That was a really good drop. It's nothing fancy, nothing subtle about it. It's a bold brush. It's
full of flavor, delivers on what it needs to be.
It's full of confidence. It's like they know what an IPA is. They're just going to chuck it at you, and you just taste like it.
And I think that's the thing with the IPAs. If it's just IPA, nothing else with it. You want it hop. Focused on the hop that is leading it.
Yeah, so, and it could have been a lovely bitterness to this. Yeah, really enjoyable.
Really crisp. Really bitter. Really hoppy, resiny.
All right, time now for show and tell. This is where each of us bring our beer to the table and discuss in front of the class. Today, we're running with a bit of an old school theme, I suppose. Looking at some more sort of traditional styles.
So, traditional styles, traditional ingredients, maybe something that's been around a long time, just something that your old man might have had or your old man's old man.
Or probably something we drank 5 years ago that's now out of fashion, likely.
But it was, when I sort of pictured it, it was something that traditional, but with sort of that new sort of feel to it as well. Yeah. So taking old school methods.
Something I learned is actually quite hard to find some old school beers. Like I was running short of time this week to pick something up, and I went into a bottle shop hoping to find something old school, and there was nothing old school I could find. So I'll admit, so round two might be a bit of a stretch for what's old school, but let's just run with it for now.
Yeah, well, I went in thinking maybe a German style, Belgian style, or even like a Pilsner or something like that. Then I found a Belgian blonde, and that sort of went, that sounds old school to me, traditional.
Does your missus know you picked up a Belgian blonde, right? I want to edit that part out of the podcast, to save your marriage, mate.
So I found West City Brewing, their white ale, which is a traditional Belgian blonde ale with a solid wheat backbone, fresh coriander seeds, orange zest, and New World hops deliver a delicious hazy ale with a twist.
Now, is it fresh backbone that's included in this beer, is it? Or?
Well, if we have something to chew on, that might be it. it's from West City, who, as we were having a bit of a look up, they're now brewing out of Grand Ridge in Victoria.
Yep. I've previously only seen their XPA, which is not actually too bad. It used to be quite cheap compared to the Volta XBA. Like, you get a six-pack for about a few dollars less, but things have kind of changed with it, I think.
It's become a bit more exclusive.
It's become a bit more expensive, and the Volta's become a bit more cheaper, and, you know, rather cheap.
Yeah.
Drink the cheaper Volta.
And, yeah, when it's so easy to find, it's Volta's exactly everywhere right now. So this comes in a 440ml can and is 4.9% ABV. So, it's not being super strong. It's nice, probably summery beer as well. And based on the colour, it's light. It's blonde.
it's very, very sort of light and blonde. It's very effervescent. It's got lots of bubbles coming up there. Yeah. So, it's quite a lively brew.
And does smell like your Hoegaarden Blue Moon.
It's got that straw colour look to it. It's very hazy as well. Like there's no clarity there as well.
No, it looks like it should be clear, but yeah, definitely hazy. So, but yeah, definitely smell that sort of orange zest in it, which is nice. It's kind of
a bit of that sort of lavender kind of smell. Not as strong as what you get from the Hoegaarden. It kind of lingers in there with the citrus and.
Yeah, it's sort of a better mix of smells than the Hoegaarden, but
it does. That's quite a smooth flavour there.
It's not as citrusy as what the Hoegaardens are, but has that same sort of wheaty.
It's got the wheaty. It's got that kind of perfumey kind of taste, but it's very nice and smooth and easy drinking. That's that's actually quite refreshing, I must say.
Yeah, it's a summer beer.
I don't know why, but I've got some prejudice against, like, you know, the Hoegaarden and stuff these days. I kind of walked into this one expecting that, now this is going to be crap. But
it is fresh and zesty. That's probably fresh, zesty. It's wheaty. All the good things.
Yeah, it's incredibly smooth and easy drinking as well. Like that is. On a hot summer's day on the back porch and sipping away at that, you'd be quite happy with that.
Yep. Oh, cooking up with Barbie, cracking open one of those while you cook over the hot,
there's flames. There's no sausage burning going on this one. This is a 4.9%. It is a larger can, but it's a reasonable level of alcohol. It's not going to put you to sleep at all.
I'm actually pleasantly surprised by that.
I am too. I'm quite surprised.
I was originally... I had a lager in hand and then saw this and went, no, that just feels more right.
Yep.
I am very glad I did.
Yeah.
That's...
So there you go. So it was a West City Brewing white ale.
Yeah.
And I said, you can just grab it from a first choice, which is handy. There's one near pretty much everyone. One thing I am enjoying with first choice these days, I've been to a couple of different ones, and the enthusiasm for craft beer and first choice has increased.
They're realising there's some money to be made.
And it's also they're starting to attract people that have the enthusiasm for it. Like I said, there's a young guy, the one over at Springfield, he loves his craft beer. And every time you pick up something interesting, he lights up and wants to chat to you. Oh, have you tried this one? And you get a bit of a conversation going. And I've always been, throughout my life, been critical of the lack of service that you find in bottle shops a lot of the time. You walk in there and it's like walking into a rest home at times. Like no one talks to you. There's no atmosphere.
Well, and I've been holding off on giving this gripe. Mm-hmm. And it was the celebrations at Green Slopes. I've sat on this for a few weeks.
Oh, no.
And been sitting wondering whether I have a crack at it. But nah, stuff it. The bloke there. Now, it's a venue that really pushes the fact that they're a craft beer place.
Yep.
And was in there for about 10, 15 minutes, walking up and down the fridges, trying to pick out beers. And it was beers for me, beers for the show.
Hmm.
Did not get a word from him the entire time I was there.
Yep.
Finally made my selections, walked over, and he goes, oh, that your choice? And I'm like, yeah, mate. And was struggling to pick. We're doing this theme for the podcast. And I went, oh. Okay, rung him up and then went, do you want him in a bag? And that was the extent of it. And I thought, buddy, if that's the attitude you got, go work for a BWS or liquor where they don't give two stuffs about craft beer.
It makes a difference. I'll go the opposite example. The guy over at Liquor Legends, Annaly. I've been there a couple of times. The guys had a good yarn to me, chatting away, as friendly as anything. But
that's it. Unless he's got I've been in there once where he had a massive lineup of people, and I don't mind that.
There might be some trepidation with some craft beer people because, the old craft beer wanker.
Yep.
I've seen a cartoon or I've seen a meme going around where, you know, the worker walks up to the customer and says, can I help you? And the craft beer drinker turns and says, no, but I'm sure I can help you.
Yes.
You know, there's that sort of thing going on, yeah, but still, just have a yarn, you know.
That's it. Yeah, just the simple question, oh, have you had that one before? Do you like it? Mm. Have you tried this one? Just get a feel for them. If they are one of those douchebags, feel free to cut the conversation off.
Yeah.
But the people that just want to have a chat about it and get some guidance, get some feedback, that's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll drive an extra, 10, 15 minutes if it means I'm going to somewhere where, yep, you know, you're welcome. Like, all right, time for round two of show and tell before Pity gets his banned from every bottle shop around Brisbane. This is my turn, and like I said, this is going to be a bit of a stretch for a traditional style, but this is called All Rise on Me. It's a biscuit rye IPA. This is from Sea Leg Brewing in association with Cry Malt and Yakima Chief Hops. In collaboration with Cry Malt Yakima Hops, we've been working on this tasty biscuit rye IPA, a very special release for the Queensland Live Cross of the Indies Awards 2020 at Sea Legs Brewing. As opposed to the traditional rye malt, we opted to swap for a Cry Malt supplied biscuit rye malt, making up 30%, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there you go. Overboard reading that.
Yep. So rye and IPA, both traditional.
And cryo. Yeah,
that's the new school sort of twist on it. So I think both of them have had old school, new school twists. Exactly. So we'll go with that. It's a tenuous link, but that's nice. Deep dark color, isn't it?
And dark amber kind of color going on there. So this is a 6.1% ABV, 440ml can, which clocks up what, about 2.1 standard drinks.
There's something about the slightly larger cans at the 440 mils.
Yep.
You just know if you hit a good beer, it's enjoyable.
I'm starting to think the guys over at Sea Legs must have some OCD going on at the moment, because they are cranking out some beers at the moment. They've got this one. They've got the Imperial Haze that just came out.
Yeah.
The
Leviathan.
The Leviathan. I'm hoping to pick up at some point somewhere.
This one's great too.
Mm. Well, I better stop talking and start sniffing.
Sorry,
Oh, that does smell good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. There's like a...
There's a real sort of like punchy sweetness, fruitiness going on.
Yeah, I think that's sort of almost a sweet biscuit, but, I smell that rye, malty aspect to it as well. It's quite...
Yeah. So I said the colour, it's... the darker amber colour, so it's cloudy rather than hazy, I'd say. You kind of just about see through, not quite.
Wow, okay.
It's very sort of, malty kind of.
That is an interesting tasting beer. There's a lot of biscuit.
Yeah. It almost tastes like a bit of Sabro in there.
I personally can't taste the Sabro, but...
I think it's the vanilla aftertaste, I think that's what's making me think of it.
But it's like a biscuit that you'd probably get at your grandma's place when she was having a tea or coffee, and then you'd actually jag one of the biscuits. So that Scotch Finger or... Yeah.
It's experimental hop HBC520. But I just got the heavy dose of vanilla that comes through the back end of that. That's
almost a... shortbready style biscuit.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very accurate description there. You know, you get the shortbread, the aftertaste of that.
Yes.
That sort of butteriness kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. It's sort of hops to start with, and then this, buttery, biscuity taste afterwards.
I think based on the colour, I was probably expecting it to be a bit sort of malty kind of, that sort of malty syrupy kind of thing. Yeah. But it's quite a sort of like sweet vanilla buttery kind of. This is another really good beer. This is a good day's of beer so far.
It's a cracking beer. So we've only had one other episode where we've ticked off on both beers. Mm. I would say... Episode X, we're up to two good beers on the episode. So
And again, I love a pun and a name, so All Rise on Me. Yeah, so
yep.
I dig it. I like it. Like what they've done there.
That's it. And it's an attractive can. Like it's bright, which is good.
Well, the only thing I say with the can,
yes,
it doesn't look like a Seelix can.
No, that is very...
I didn't... When I first saw this one like being posted around, I did not think it was a Sea Legs beer.
No, I would not have picked that from Sea Legs. And when you mentioned it, I was actually a little surprised. Mm. So it...
But, yeah, so they've been cranking out some beers lately. And they're all hits at the moment, I think. Like the only one I was a bit iffy on is the Sideshow Alley Strawberry something. It's a bit sour, it's fine.
Yeah.
But everything
just
else,
not something.
You've had the Red Rum Red IPA the other week. That was an absolute cracker as well. They had the Marzen, the German one. Yep. That was brilliant.
The Homestead series, the Mandarin.
Mm. I was hoping to find the Kiwi Fruit Mint one today, but yes. I couldn't find it, so... I really want to try that. Because again, that's heading down a path that's
completely not different. Exactly. It's a food path, not a beer path. So yep. It's.
I like supporting. I always consider myself to. I've got a curious palate. I always like trying something new. And so when someone has a new idea like that with beers, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, that was, reflecting back, that was the great thing about Bacchus was it was not stuff that you would normally find in beers.
Yep.
Or flavors that you wouldn't normally find with that style of beer as well, which is another interesting component, because the Jack-O-Lantern was it a Goes or a Saison? Or
I think it was an IPA, actually.
I don't know. It was something that you wouldn't have normally pictured with that sort of flavored beer. Again, the Peanut Brittle was a Goes, so it wasn't something I would have expected.
It's just good these days, because I find there's a lot of the beers that come out, all very samey. Everyone's bringing out a new version of a haze, and a lot of them are really nice, but a lot of them are just hard to differentiate between others. And you just read some of the descriptions of, you know, everything tastes like tropical, everything tastes like passion fruit, partner, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, in other words, you're too lazy to actually define the flavor,
all those flavors are there, just different levels of difference. Yes. It's hard to differentiate between them. Whereas something like this, the Biscuit Rye IPA, it's different from what's around there, and this is. An absolute cracker.
Yeah.
So smooth as well.
Yeah.
And
for something that's, 2.1 standards, it doesn't taste like it's got booze in
this
it.
This tastes just as smooth as the other one, which was, 4.9%. This is 6.1%. You couldn't tell the difference. There's
no.
Yeah.
No, it is a superb beer and very much... It was funny with Sea Legs, initially, their entry-level core range beers were nice, but it did feel a little same.
Mm-hmm.
The new stuff that they're doing,
COVID's
obviously worked for these guys because they are just going crazy, but producing some outstanding beers.
Yeah, and this is definitely one of the businesses. This is an absolute cracker.
Thoroughly impressed with these two.
I'm annoyed I didn't get a 4-pack of that. I really am.
You might have to do a return visit.
Go visit the good folks over at Anna Lee at the Junction Hotel.
Yep. Yes. Oh, mate, if you listen.
Hey, here's some sponsorship going there.
Yeah, that's it. Some discount coming our way, thanks.
You already gave me a platinum card, don't worry about it.
Funnily enough, I've got one of those too, and hasn't done much. The 4-pack was a little bit cheaper, but beyond that, and I think old mate behind me got the same discount.
I just like to feel special.
Yeah. You are, mate.
All right, we're 2 beers in, so we better have a break for the news. All right, you want to kick us off there, Mr. Pitt?
Oh, what do you want me to kick off with? Is it the updated Beer Cartel Top 10 for the independents?
Yeah, go on. Inform us.
Well, I only recorded the top 5 because I was too lazy.
Fair enough.
It didn't really change much, but Black Ops still at number 1, Bent Spoke, Stone and Wood, Deeds, and Hop Nation. really can't go wrong with those guys. Yeah.
I think they just eliminated anyone that wasn't independent or something like that on there. Yeah, so.
Or who hadn't registered to be independent, like got the stamp. So, which was nice that Beer Cartel actually responded sort of within a couple of days and went, no, here's our independent list as well. Obviously, they got a bit of feedback, so it was good to see. Also, some birthdays.
Yep.
Ether Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Do love some Ether Brewing.
I do like a bit of Ether as well.
They turn four, which is, I guess, a nice little... They're a toddler.
Yeah. You ever get the feeling some of these breweries are not as old as what you think they are?
Or some are older than you actually think they
are. Well, there's a few. The ones like the ones like Ether and stuff like that, they were 4 years old. I was like, really? I thought they'd been around forever. But
which is weird, because I thought they'd only been around for a couple of years. Yeah. So I thought they might have been second or third birthday.
But Ballistic's the same. Ballistic's only been around for like 3 or 4 years. I think this feels like they've been around forever. They just
feel like they've
just
been
just shows they've exploded very quickly. So
the other one was Brewski had their, as they said, 18th. Eighth-ish birthday.
Eighth-ish.
Yeah, we'll go with whatever they're doing. So they clearly can't remember. So we'll run with that.
Yep.
Great venue as well. So happy birthday to those two.
Mm. All right. So last week, I think it was, they had the Indie Awards.
It's been some time.
Obviously, the beer we just had, the All Rise on Me, was brewed for that. So. The Indie Awards, we're not going to go into too much detail with that one, but top of the pile was Range Brewing here in Brisbane, won 4 awards, including Champion Small / Medium Brewery, Queensland State Champion, Champion Beer, and Champion IPA for their Fahrenheit IPA. So well done to the guys over there.
Yeah. Have you had the Fahrenheit IPA?
No, I haven't.
No,
so.
It's definitely one that we may have to get a hold of now.
So. I imagine after success it had, there'll be a re-release coming off that one soon.
Yeah, so we will keep an eye out and we will actually put that on the episode if it comes.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes so well out. Done to them. Also worth mentioning, Dainton Brewing down in Melbourne, they won the award for best, so Champion Large Brewery, which it's funny. I kind of don't think of them as being a large brewery.
It must have been something to do with our podcast listing them.
They've exploded since then, exactly.
That's it. So we listed them as one of the Victorian beers to support.
Yeah,
so.
Woz is their number one fan, so good on you, Woz.
And I love Dainton as well. Again, they're one of those ones that do a lot of weird and wonderful stuff. There's misses, but there's a lot of hits as well.
Yeah. I normally just can't justify paying, a stupid amount of money for a small can. So
there is a battle with that.
That's my feelings on them. But the ones I've had are
amazing beers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the other award of note, so it's Moffat Beach Brewing up on the Sunshine Coast won the award for best, champion brew pub.
Yes.
Which they promptly celebrated by having a classic Holden smash through the front of the restaurant.
I did see that. Then some
moron doing burnouts in the middle of the road. Bloody idiots.
I did like the fact that they posted it and ripped into the bloke as well. So
should, honestly.
Good on them for calling a douchebag out. So
we won't go any further. That this is one of these award shows where everyone seems to got a prize or something. Yes. Every beer that entered got a gold, silver, bronze award or something like that. So well done to all the award winners, but too many of you got awards.
Yes, there did seem to be a lot of participation awards. But
I forget, there's one category that they gave no awards out for, so I don't know whether they just had no entrance for it. So have a look at that. If you want to guarantee yourself a gold medal, make one of those beers, send it in next year, and you pick up a prize.
We should have a look at that and see if there's a poor old man released. Did you have any other news?
The most exciting news I got this week, though. This went viral on the internet probably a week or so ago, but Garage Project.
Yes.
They announced that. First of all, everyone's drinking too much of the beer in Australia, and probably for good reason.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Our podcast, we keep promoting them. So
exactly.
And there's your bingo tip.
Any sales of Garage Project from episode 3, I think it was. Yep. We should get some commission on that. So exactly, get some back end deals. So first of all, to meet the demand in Australia, the Hop Nation are going to be starting to brew. But only for a temporary time, because before too long, they'll have their own Garage Project Brewery here in Australia.
Can you come to Queensland? All Kiwis like Queensland.
This is what I'd love them to come to Queensland, but I've got the horrible, horrible feeling it's going to go to Sydney or Melbourne. It just it makes too much sense to go.
I can see them ending up in Melbourne. Just the weather's more. It's a cooler climate. It does.
If you're going to go on the weather, to get weather like Wellington, you end up in Hobart, mate. Honestly, the middle of the is it the Bass Strait? Is it?
Yeah. No one goes to
testing
Tasmania.
My Aussie geography here. So
it's saying that Tasmania has some great beer, food, and wine. So
yes, they do. Yes.
Again, very similar to New Zealand in climate and and produce. But yeah, come to
very excited to see Garage Project stretching their legs coming up to Australia. So
test our influence. Come to Queensland. Come to Queensland.
Well, I mean, it was a shock when BrewDog decided to come to Queensland. Like, they got a few sort of tasty back-end deals from Anastasia Palaszczuk to come to Queensland. So
let's just say it's English, British. I should say British because they're not English. But British people don't do well in Queensland.
No.
So
New Zealanders don't do well in Queensland as well. Speaking of a personal experience.
Yeah. But yes, definitely come to Queensland.
Yeah. But I'm just excited to get more fantastic Garage Project beers in Australia. So yeah, exciting stuff, that one.
It'll be good to be able to get a hold of them a little bit easier. Probably there'll be more frequent, more numbers,
easier distribution as well. Like it's getting more and more prevalent, but yeah, it'd be good to have more of them around because they are fucking good beers.
Yes.
Oh, swear jar.
Yep.
The last thing I had to mention.
Yes.
Again, this is a running theme. At first, there was the VB fragrance.
Oh, are you talking about what I
next,
think
there was
about?
The VB Budgie Smugglers. Now is the VB Volleys.
Yeah, so I did see the Dunlop Volleys, so they partnered with Dunlop.
It's weird. Are they still Dunlop Volleys? They keep just saying Volleys. Is Dunlop not involved with these anymore? I don't know.
No, Dunlop still own Volleys. It's just that I think they've sort of almost like Converse, just cons.
Yep.
That sort of feel where they've progressed to just today.
And again, I know VB is definitely not craft or indie, but I just think their marketing department is just on another level at the moment.
Whoever is heading the VB marketing department, they deserve a raise.
The other one, the other week, is Aussie beer advent calendars are all the rage at the moment. I'm a sucker for them. I've got one. I'm counting down the days to 1st of December so I can start cracking into that one. VB,
which will appear on our socials and... Yeah, there'll be a lot of stuff about
you, that. You'll get sick of it by about the 12th of December, probably. but yeah, so VB came out with their own VB beer advent calendar, which was just a case of 24 VBs. So.
Yeah, there is someone there that is just on point.
Yep.
And yeah, give them a raise. I don't like VB. I won't drink VB. However, genius.
I got it. The very first beer I ever drank in Australia was a VB. And that was probably the last time I ever drank a VB in Australia.
Where were you living at that stage?
I just moved to Brisbane. I did the same thing in London as well. You get to Brisbane and you walk into the pub and think, I need a beer. I need to act like a local. G'day, mate. I'll have a VB.
Okay.
And they go, a pot or a schooner. I said, a what?
Yeah.
a handle? Small one?
And you clearly weren't sort of acclimatised and asked for the gold.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah. So, because as pretty much any Queenslander, you would have had Forest Gold as the first beer. It's sort of a rite of passage. It is the becoming a man is you have your first gold. So
alright, now time to check out the new brews coming near use. Yeah, I'll kick this one off for something different.
Yeah, we'll reverse things. So you go first, Mark.
I've already mentioned the Leviathan from Celiac coming out. Yep. I'll skip past that one. One that's already come out, I didn't actually see much of a lead up for this one, is Acacia Cloud 9 Hazy IPA. Nice. This is their fresh as anything IPA they released. They released it and straight into stores. Get it as soon as you see it because it is fantastic. It really is. I really enjoy that one.
Awesome.
I've got there's a couple of mix packs I want to mention as well that's coming out.
Yeah.
One is, I think episode one, we talked about the Gabs
yes.
label designs. They're releasing a mix pack of the label designs.
Ooh, excellent.
Now, the ones that include in this one, the one that won it, which is the Face Inverter from Little Bang.
Seen that one, yep. Yes.
Water Me Lawn from Ballistic.
Yep.
My personal favorite one of the top 10, which was Affinity.
The Black Tropical Flag.
Yeah, from Black Flag.
Yes.
The grass.
Yeah, careful on the. we don't need it. Do it. Bit of pulled up on that.
Bit of controversy, good for publicity. Yeah. So. It's also got the one I thought was boring as batch, but you quite like the Grassy Knoll Coastal Ale, I think it was.
There's something about it. It's still. Grassy Knoll have the cleanest labels, I think, going around.
One from Blaster has got a blue horse on the front, whatever that is. And the one that looks like a Hawaiian shirt from Lowe's, XPA from, I think, Ocean Reach Brewing. So,
again, it's another good one for potentially as a Christmas present for someone to pick it up if you know someone who likes craft beer. No thinking involved.
Yeah. Now, the other mix pack I've got to mention, because this is outstanding. So this is Craft Cartel.
Yes.
Are launching a mix pack that includes 100 cans.
That's a good range.
It's got 25 four packs of beer.
Yep.
So you get 100 beers. I won't read them all, but things like, you know, Newstead's in there, Cash's in there, Moondog, Two Birds, Hawkers, Bench Spoke, Bridge, there's, you know.
So all, pretty much everyone you need.
Just,
to,
it yeah. covers most of Australia there. Plus you get 10 $20 Craft Cartel vouchers as well. You get a poster, a personalised gift card, which is optional apparently. You get free delivery to Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, and it comes in this giant wooden crate that needs two people to carry it. Awesome. I haven't actually seen how much this is. I'm going to guess this thing's going to be about $700 or something like that.
In saying that, I think I saw that and it was $500.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, I remember seeing something online and I looked at it and it was like $499. And
that's good value for $500. For some reason,
it's probably the same thing. I mean, could be completely wrong.
My maths isn't great, but that's like $5 a can. But then you get $200 worth of vouchers as well.
But so that seems to be something that they're doing at the moment. Mm. And I think it's just that repeat business aspect. They want to lock you in, which is great. Like, that's the best way to do things is give you something so that you keep ordering and you keep going back
to
them.
If this thing's $500, then I might consider having one.
Yeah, I may need to start working to justify that one. So.
Just give me a moment. Dear Santa, for Christmas, what I would really like... When I say Santa, I mean the wife, actually. Dear wife, allow me to spend $500 on beer.
And you're too big to come sit on my lap, so I'm
not allowed. I'm not allowed within 1.5 meters. Like, that's got nothing to do with COVID. There's a whole like lawsuit. I don't want to get into details. Who touched who first? I don't, you know.
Santa asked for it.
It's a good way to sell the missus. You tell the wife, I swear to God, I'm only buying one carton of beer for Christmas. I'm like, oh, that's great, honey. That's great. Like,
on top of that, I'm saving us money.
Like, why do you spend $500 on beer?
It's a win-win. I'm getting $200 back.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
Technically, it's only $300 then.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So, win-win-win all around. So... if it is that price, yeah, jump on it. So, yeah.
If after Christmas we're hosting a very special single man's episode of pouring old single men, you know this plan hasn't gone down well.
Yeah, no, Christmas did not go well for us. Although we may be drinking more beer at that stage.
Well, we've got 100 to get through.
Is that all the beers?
That's all I got.
Okay, cool. So the list I had, and I'll try and jump through them pretty quickly, is Newstead. So previously they had their Zoo V8, which apparently came with rave reviews. It's a golden sour. I don't know. They're releasing the Zoo V9, so it's the updated version of that one. So
Is it part of the working title brand?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. Yep. So
is that a barrel aged beer?
I don't know. I didn't read too much into it. It I'd seen it get rave reviews before, so I thought, oh, that's an interesting one to keep an eye out for. Grassy Knoll, so we've mentioned them a couple of times.
Yes.
Their avocado beer.
Oh, I did see that, yes.
Yeah, that it just intrigues.
Mm.
Like, the, I don't know how it'll go, but just the fact that it's an avocado beer, I'm thoroughly intrigued with that, so I will keep an eye out for that one. Cavalier, someone that we haven't mentioned before.
Cavalier, where are they from?
I don't know. Yeah, you're asking questions that I don't have answers for. But
I'm just suspecting some research here, pal. Hey?
No, I. The problem was they had me with one word.
Mm.
Calippo.
Ooh, hello.
Now, anyone our age, and particularly growing up in a warm weather climate, you had a lot of Calippos in summer. So it is a passion fruit, pineapple, and orange sour.
If they're from Melbourne, FYI.
Thank you.
Been around for 9 years.
I've had one of their beers before. The I think it's like a brut, like a wine or a champagne based one. So, which wasn't too bad. It's getting off the point.
I'm going to get off the point a little bit further. I just went on the website. I love their landing page. You know, the Are You Over 18? Theirs is just says, in the immortal lyrics of Dragon, are you old enough? Hell yeah. Nah.
Well played. So, but Calippo, it is a highlight of my youth.
Yep.
I'm going to keep an eye out for this one because that sounds really good.
Oh, I know. I was just looking at their bottles. I know these guys. I've had their brown ale. Their brown ale was in one of the, I think 2 years ago, the Adrian calendar.
There you go.
And it was quite nice. So that's where I know.
So they've done nice enough beers. If they hit the mark on Calippo, it could jump straight into a top 10 for the year.
It's a flavour that's screaming out to be made into good beer.
Exactly honestly. Right. Now, one that sort of screamed pouring old men, Deeds are releasing dad jeans.
Yeah, I did see that. Yes.
So it's a California IPA. So it just sort of, it screamed pouring old men. So I sort of jotted that one down. Now, the other two are two more from Deeds, but Calculated Risk.
Mm.
Now, I have never, ever had a good size on.
Yeah, I haven't had many size on, so.
I've had okay ones. I haven't had any good ones.
Size on, size off?
Yeah. Sorry. Speaking of which, I'm watching Cobra Kai.
Finished watching Cobra Kai.
I'm halfway through second season. And
since we're getting off subject so easily, that show has no right to be as good as what it is.
100%. It looks so cheap and dodgy, yet it is an amazing show.
The concept of Cobra Kai, it shouldn't work, but honestly. Anyway, go watch Cobra Kai. It's amazing.
Yes. And particularly, our age, that just, it hits. Have a calculated risk whilst watching Cobra Kai. So it's a dry hop saison. From Deeds, it's one that it might finally hit the mark of being a good size on. So I'm going to keep an eye out for that one and hopefully it does tick the box. And the final one from them is Nastravi.
Now what?
Nastravi.
What's Nastravi?
So it's a Czech Pilsner. So Nastravi is cheers.
Well, it works well with our traditional beers today.
Well, that's what I figured. It works well. Also works well with our previous episode of summer beers. Pilsner's fitted in with that.
Yep.
It's cheers in Czech. So I thought, keep an eye out for that one. So
I'll just late entrance to the new beers thing here. Going back to Cavalier Beer. Still on their website, by the way.
Awesome.
They got a smoked pineapple and cherry sour.
Ooh.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
The beer that started a craving for Nana's glazed Christmas ham topped with caramelized pineapple rings and maraschino cherries.
Ooh.
That sounds amazing, actually.
That could make it on the Christmas beers.
Yeah, it could be a Christmas beer, actually. Yeah. Very much so. Good on you. Hey, is there some great marketing you got going on there, Cavalier? We don't really see much of them around up here, do we?
No. So, because I believe there may be a Secret Santa episode coming in the near future that could sneak onto that episode.
So if you work for Cavalier Brewing and you want some extra marketing, contact us.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We'd love to road test your... What's the name of the beer?
It is... Oh, I scrolled past it, pretty. What do you you doing to me? The smoked pineapple and cherry sour.
Okay. If you want a road test on the number 5 beer podcast in Australia, hit us up, Cavalier.
Absolutely. As I say, if you're not making moves, you're standing still.
Exactly right. We may have to remember to take Cavalier in this.
All right, time for a special round 3 of Show and Tell. And Pity, what have you got for us?
Well, firstly, it is our first fan suggestion, or supporter suggestion, I should say. So, Fathead, thank you, Fathead.
Thank you, Fathead.
Yes, so he has sent us the Schneider Weiss Aventinus Weizen Doppelbock. So this prompted our old school episode because this is the first ever brewed Weizen Doppelbock. So it was done in 1907.
Wow.
So it's actually surprisingly, I thought being German beer, it would be older than that.
I'm just looking at the back of there. There's a lot of like stuff written on the back of the can there. It's mostly in German, so we won't read it out.
So yeah, so, but it is, I did see something about this is sort of the beer to celebrate the end of the cold season.
Which is appropriate. We only just reached the end of the cold season here in Brisbane.
Yeah, considering we have such a massive cold season up here. But but yeah, do have to say a big thank you to Fathead because he did suggest this one and asked us to put up a review. So we'll tag him in all the information. So do give him a follow as well. So good bloke.
Yeah, where's he from, Fathead? Is he from over there? Is it the one from over in WA? Is he?
No, so Brisbane. Is he so Brisbane? Brisbane-based, yes. So,
it was the other bloke that was WA, wasn't it?
Yes, so Brucha Libre's.
I wasn't going to mention his name because he didn't consume us a beer.
No. However, I am interested to try his beer.
Brucha Libre, he makes his own beers, doesn't he?
He does make his own beers.
Fathead does beer tours, is that what?
No, so Fathead Beer Reviews, he's just started up his own social media aspect and doing beer reviews. Oh, so he's a
competition, is he?
No, so a collaborator.
A collaborator, oh, okay, so fair enough, yeah.
Collaborator, supporter, so yeah, do check him out and thank you for the beer.
I remember when we were the little guys like that. Yeah.
Oh, this, you do smell the German wheat beer in this one.
So you can smell the Germans in this one.
So, do Germans have a smell? Let's not get into that.
Imagine they smell like pretzels. I like pretzels.
Yeah, so do I. That's some complex flavour in that. It's the typical wheat.
It's got
the German wheat. That
there's not a lot of fragrance there.
That wheaty Hefeweizen smell, but flavor wise, there's a maltiness. It starts
sweet,
off with
like a sweet malt kind of.
There's a little bit of bitterness there, but it's not a.
It's not a pronounced bitterness. No. It's quite a sort of smooth sort of. That's quite enjoyable actually. Like I said, it is very the wheaty malty kind of.
Yep.
Almost caramelized kind of sweetness to it, but then with that sort of tinge of bitterness to it.
Yeah, and it is a very dark color. It's almost the brown ale sort of color that we've had.
It's almost tea and biscuits. The old prior life tea and biscuits kind of color to it. Isn't
it's
it?
Probably a darker color than the tea and biscuits.
The dirty brown ale kind of look to it. Not saying that it's full of dirt. I'm just
I quite like it.
This thing's 8.2% as well. Jeez.
Yeah, so.
And in a 500ml can as well.
Exactly right. So it does.
Which I believe in Germany, this would be a small.
In Germany, is this a Bratwurst burner?
It's a Bratwurst burner.
Or a Frankfurt burner.
burn your Frankfurt with this one. Yeah, probably.
Depends on what you're packing.
it's probably not something that I could have more than one can of.
No.
Not saying it's not bad, it's just I could have one at the end of the session and that might be about it.
This would be the nighttime beer, the relax, crack it open, sit back, sip, enjoy.
Yep.
I could definitely see with the in Germany sitting back by the fire, sort of cracking this open.
Wearing your Lederhosen. No.
No.
Oh. No. Oh no.
yum. Yum, yum, yum. Whilst we finish this, scores.
Yeah, let's have a look back on the Bears we had today. The scores. Yep. First up was the, the West City Brewing White Ale?
Yes. So the Belgian Blonde.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. It was wheaty. It was that sort of Hoegaarden, but almost a little bit fresher, a little bit crisper than Hoegaarden. I'm going to put a number out there, 8.5.
Yeah.
Because I can't fault it, but I've still had a couple other beers that I've liked better.
I'll probably give it an 8.
Yep.
I'll give it a solid 8. Yeah. I was close to giving it a 9. Very close, but, you know, I'll give it an 8.
No, that's fair.
All right, so next up we had the All Rise On Me from the Biscuit Rye IPA from Sea Legs.
And cracking beer.
This is an absolute ripper of a beer.
Yep, it was biscuity. You could clearly taste that biscuit aspect.
It had the vanilla-y shortbread kind of flavour to it. It was smooth as... I can't fault it.
No? Is it as good as Surrender to the Void?
Yes. So I'll give it a 10. I'm giving that one a 10. The only reason I wouldn't give it a 10 is because I didn't want to give it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you got to want it. But
yep.
There's nothing I can fault with. It's a brilliant tasting beer.
Yes.
It's got a great pun.
Yep.
It's got a good name.
Great. Yeah. No, great can art. Just everything works for it.
Yep. So. No, I'll give that one a 10 out of 10. Well done, Sea Leaks. That is an absolute ripper of a beer.
And I'm going to do the same mark as I gave the Surrender to the Void as well, which was a 9.5.
Yep.
Because I want that one beer that just does everything for me.
What else do you want it to do, mate? Do you want the beer to walk in and do the dishes and do the shopping for you?
Yeah, that's it. Tickle areas. do all of the above. So maybe have that Belgian Blonde included, that sort of aspect. So, I'm just waiting for that one beer that just absolutely blows me away. Yep. So 9.5 for me on that one.
I'm happy with 10 for that one. And yeah, finally, was it a Ventinus Weizen Doppelbock from Schneider Weiss?
I think this is better than the White Ale.
They're very close, actually. It's different. If I was to grab another one of either of these beers, I'd probably grab the White Ale before that.
I'm going to put it in between the two and give it a 9.
Yep. I can't separate this from the White City, so I'll give it an 8, I think.
There you go.
That's
some cracking scores.
Yeah, that's a good drinking there. Yeah,
if someone asked me for a recommendation on beer, these three, what else have we had high scores? The Revel Oak Cream?
River Oak Cream, yeah, there was up there was a similar sort of level to the other two. Garage Project Surrender to the Void was the other 10 I've another, given out, and the only other 9.5 you've given out.
Yep.
So I think you've only got a 9.5 scale. Does a 10 actually exist? We'll find out.
That'll be the challenge to see if someone actually produces a 10. Actually, the Currumbin Valley Gin Fears.
Ooh.
That'd be a 9.5.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's still a 9.5. I thought you were going to give that a 10.
No, because it's almost there. It's almost perfect. It's a fantastic beer as well. So,
That's all for us. That's all. We'll catch you next time on the Pouring Old Man podcast. I've been Russell.
And I've been Anthony.
We'll see you next time.